Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Tune In Game Podcast. This is episode 57. I'm on your host, Nick, Retro Nick, and joined with me as usual, Warren.
Hello, hello, and hello.
Okay, and Gaz Lost Ruin isn't around at the minute. Don't know if he's going to be on in a bit. Hopefully we'll have him on shortly, but for now we'll just meet me and Warren to just discuss some gaming news for the first topic. Mm-hmm. So, first off, for anyone who was following Game Girls Go, for anyone who was supporting that, you'll obviously have noticed that, unfortunately, Charlie's Kickstarter didn't get to his goal. Basically, funding was unsuccessful.
Yeah, I saw that. Have you talked to him since that?
Not since, no. I've been meaning to message him say to him, sorry, your goal wasn't reached. And for anyone wondering, the pledge goal was $12,000, mm-hmm. and he managed to raise $2,651, but unfortunately that doesn't look, at the moment, doesn't look like this Kickstarter is going to go anywhere. Unless Charlie wins to try again, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think really this right here was actually a learning experience for him more than anything. I mean, I've always wanted to do my own Kickstarter, but I don't have any more ideas anymore, so it's best if I don't. I think this is more of a learning experience for him, since this is his first time ever doing that, and I've never done it. But when it comes to advertising, my personal opinion is I think he should have made another video to go with it outside of what he could, you know, because I think he said he had limitations of what he could show on Kickstarter. And he did make another one, but since we know him, we know what his style is like. But other people who don't know him, you know, I don't think it was really enough. And me and him, we talked a little bit about it. And, you know, he went and did some other things too, you know, with Reddit and stuff like that. I don't really understand Reddit. I know people are like, Warren, you're so dumb. Like, no, I don't use those kind of sites. You know, my friends send me information. I don't dig. You know, I don't even use that site. I'll go to it. I mean, but... But no, he made $2,000, so that actually shows, you know, to me that's a good sign that there are people out there. It's just that I don't think, you know, he reached the market of people who would have supported it and would have met it. So I think really, you know, once he gathers all this information from this run, if he's going to, which I think he really should, come back again, and this time come with the knowledge that he gained from this experience. And I really think it'll be a success. I mean, I thought this was going to be a success too, because that number was not high at all for $12,000. But, you know, getting the coverage for people to actually, you know, come and, you know, see it, and then, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, so obviously the support was there, because he had 15 backers, and one of them was a $1,000 backer, I believe. So there were people willing to part the money for the pledges he had on offer, but unfortunately, for one reason or another, the funds just weren't coming in. So, I mean, we did our part in trying to promote it, but... I don't know what it was exactly, but unfortunately, it didn't quite reach the target. I mean, it did look possible a couple of weeks ago when we last discussed it, but...
Yeah.
One reason or another, just didn't get the support it needed to carry on, so unfortunately, Game Girls Goes doesn't look like it's going to hit off the ground anytime soon, so unless... Charlie just goes back to it, rethinks his plan, and comes up with a new funding goal or a new method of advertising, or...
Yeah, I'm going to speak to him with that, you know, once I get a chance to, because actually I'm helping with another small demo project, so I'll talk to him about that to see, you know, to see what we'll do about that, because I really think he should, you know, I know he shouldn't give up on this, because this is a game show that I know a lot of people would like to see it, but also if you think about it, his bids started going down once Grand Theft Auto hit the street, if you noticed that. I noticed that tell, like, saying, okay, we're going to make it. And then Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and then all of a sudden, it just went boop.
Yeah, that's possible that has something to do with it, or whether it's to do with other Kickstarters and Indiegogo campaigns going on at the same time, but...
Yeah.
It's various reasons. I think GTA might not have helped it too much because of being a popular game and everyone rushing to stores to buy it. I mean, after all, GTA raised $1 billion in 3 days. So.
Yes, they did. Yes. Everybody in there. I mean, I haven't still got, like I said, I'm trying to do Mass Effect. But no, I just noticed that too. Because I know the first day he got like, I think, was it like $25? And then, you know, I watched it every day. And then I said, oh, okay, all right, wow. Jet it right up to, 700 and I think, was it like 9? And then 1,000? I said, okay, good. And that game came out, it was like crickets. Because that reminds me of when I did my my very, very, very first podcast. Really wasn't even a podcast, it was a phone cast. And I just happened to upload it, and it was about Street Fighter. And that thing started getting hits, and I wasn't advertising it. But as soon as Street Fighter came out, it stopped right at 90,000. That's where it stopped. So it's kind of like, okay, no big deal. But no, I do hope, and I think he is going to replan that. I don't even know the rules. Can he redo it on Kickstarter at a later date?
I believe there's some method. I mean, or we could just call it under something else, perhaps.
Yeah.
So I don't know how and if it'll restart the Kickstarter or do a different style Kickstarter, or maybe try Indiegogo. Something different, because both sites are similar, but I don't know if there's a real difference between them other than the names, of course.
Actually, they are a little different. I didn't post it in the group, but I think you know Gamester 81, right?
Oh yeah, this is one was going to mention, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, carry on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, the way he did his, he was actually, I think, asking only for like $5,000, which is not a lot of money. But then, I mean, yeah, he is making a ColecoVision game, but it looks awesome. But the way his is set up, on Kickstarter, you have your goals and you meet them. Once you reach the project goal, there's your funding. Now, if you want to add stuff like the Mighty Number 9, you see they keep adding stuff and rearranging stuff on Indiegogo. It's basically the same kind of setup, but you have your baseline to get it produced, and then, hey, if we can go a little bit extra, here's what we'll do if we reach this. So it's kind of the same, but just a little different. Just a little. Not much of a difference, but you can see where it said, hey, all right, like say you, okay, Retro Nick is going to make a Retro Nick video game. It's going to be in Flash, and you're going to do it for the web only. Okay, we need, I'm going to say $2,000. Okay. $2,000 gets your game made, and then say, well, if we can make $3,000, I'll make it so that I'll have it where any person can add their own level to the game, okay, for another $1,000, t-shirts, and, go on and on and on. Hey, if we make it, great. This is all for the fans, yada, yada. And that's how Indiegogo will work with that. So, but we'll see. I mean, he really needs to think it over a little bit, and have a battle plan to come back out. But I think really it's more of the advertising is what should have pushed it a little bit more.
Yeah, that might be the issue behind it. So if Charlie's willing to give it another go, I mean, by all means, we'll be willing to give a shout out to a good friend and in need and just make. Do our best to help him get to his target goal and to see if he can get it funded the second time around. So, I mean, Charlie, if you're listening, please get in touch and let us know, and we'll hopefully speak to you soon again on the podcast to find out what your plans are.
Yep.
Okay, so hopefully in the future we'll talk about it. Girls Get Go. I must forget the name then, but hopefully it'll come. We'll be talking about it on the future podcast.
Oh yeah, we will for sure.
So we talk about the other Kickstarters in the meantime.
Oh yeah.
What Kickstarters and Indiegogo sites? While we're in the topic area of fundraising.
Okay, well, I mean, we already have two around the top. There's going to be, the Mighty Number 9. They have just reached right at 2.7 million now. Actually, I need to type it in. I just looked at it earlier.
Okay, I've got it on my mobile, so let's refresh the page. And it seems to go up like almost every minute or every few minutes.
Yeah, we got 52 hours left. It's at 2,906,806,000, which, wow, that's an odd number. But yeah, the right now we're at the intro stage and boss level. Me, I want to stop it at 25, you know, to get the challenge mode, and that was enough, and then give them an extra 100,000, you know, for thanking them for doing what they're doing. They're also now also doing something with the soundtrack, which I didn't read up on that yet. But so far everything looks great. I really hope they release a bonus level or like an extra, you know, a little small 4-minute level or something, you know, to keep the fans' appetites wet after, you know, after it's over and so forth. But they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job. They're doing exactly how I kind of thought the future would be for many developers, you know, now that, you know, people are now have so many options to play games. You know, consoles are, they're not obsolete, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, but how the mobile area is growing and how tablets are flying everywhere and, you know, people are playing games on their phones and, you know, this will be, you know, this model is kind of, hey, this is what the fans want. We're, you know, the first comers are the ones that are going to pay for it, and then once the game is made, now they can go and put on consoles for the other gamers, you know, who aren't that, you know, hardcore into it. They're like, okay, yeah, I'll buy it then. And then you still have options of, you know, if you are a hardcore gamer and you couldn't donate, now you can come back and buy the game once it's fully done. The Mega Man, I mean, Mega Man, I did not mean to say Mega Man. Mighty number nine looks great. It looks great. So, you know, but yeah, it is great. And, I don't know, I mean, I can plug, John also, John Gamester. He's on Indiegogo. He's doing, you know, the, what is it? Gamester 89. I'm sorry, 89. I'm getting 9. Ugh. I guess because I'm so happy right now. Because actually, that game, when I first heard him say, oh, he's making a game, I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And then when I saw it, I'm like, oh no. And then when I got to the Pac-Man level, oh my gosh, they like really redid the game. And it's awesome. But, Game 81, the video game, it looks awesome. He's already met his goals. He had some bad news because he had some trolls on his site, trolling, and it kind of bothered him. And you know how, you know, even though it doesn't really mean anything, it does bother you a little bit when someone says something that is just kind of disrespectful. And but he met his goal like on day 2, and his thing is still climbing. He has like, I think like 50 days left or something like that.
I think the problem at the moment is the site's going under maintenance. I'm not sure if they are accepting more funds at the minute. I mean, you can try, but...
I'm there, but I don't know if I can donate or not. He's at $8,065 right now with 54 days to go. His ultimate goal, if he was going to reach a goal, is $25,000, you know. Oh wow, his ultimate goal is one lucky winner. It's drawn at random. Will win a lucky exclusive Game 81 ColecoVision system. Yep. I just want to go to his house. Out here, I'll probably never leave. After maybe like a year or two, I probably would. But
there might be some security issues or trust issues about that. I mean, I'm sure it'll be considered. You might consider that being a prize. You could meet Gamester 81 or get all funds paid to go and see him.
Yeah, I mean, he goes to shows and stuff like that, and you know, he's around. So you know, to him, he might, you know, some people may, I think that, but that means a lot, you know, because he's been reviewing games for like what, 2008, I think. And I've watched a lot of his videos, even though I had to yell at him once or twice about. On one video where he's doing the cartridge, and he just takes the cartridge and goes flick, and this girl's like, oh my. Why did you do that? You know, he's like, oh, that's one of my early videos. Like, yeah, okay, it's understandable. But, you know, it's not like he slammed it or anything like that. But, no, he's doing a great job. The game has gotten all the support, and I actually, you know, I love it. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. It's really surprising. And I hope it turns into a series for him, you know, really, you know. Because I really, like I said, I really love how he did the Pac-Man level. I will say the Space Invaders, what do you call that level? The Invaders Reign.
Invaders Reign, yeah.
Yeah, that level, when it popped up, that monster thing scares me for some reason. It makes me feel scared. I don't even know where it's from, to tell you the truth. I've seen it so many times on different, like, soundtracks for some games and stuff. But the Pac-Man level, that really impressed me because I've never imagined Pac-Man like that. It's like the original Mario Bros. From Atari, but but Pac-Man, but better. If I can say it like that.
Yeah, I think so. What you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and he also has a Berserk level on there, too, called the Lost level. So I'm a big, I mean, he picked the majority of all the games that I like. Invader's Reign is kind of like a mixture between what Joust and Space Invaders and craziness. So, you know, but the Pac-Man level really impressed me a lot. It looks really beautiful. But I don't really know. There's like another gaming thing on Kickstarter, but I can't remember the name of it.
There's so many. Oh.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not sure if you can hear that. It's an advertisement on for some reason. There.
Oh, I can barely hear it, so it's all good.
The heck?
No, go ahead. I can hear you.
Sorry, it was just weird for some reason. Advertisement on Skype's playing.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for interrupting me, Skype.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I could barely hear it. If you didn't have told me it was an ad, I wouldn't even know it. It just sounds like something on TV. And it's not even that loud. It's like that. But you'll hear it once you come into the podcast, you'll hear it. So
yeah, so hopefully it wasn't too distracting if anyone heard it. So sorry for that, Microsoft. Sorry to put advertisement in a Skype call for the podcast.
Yeah. Do you pay for? Off topic. Do you pay for Skype?
No, I don't know. I just use a free version.
Oh, that's weird. I don't have ads on mine.
I suppose I could buy it, but then again, like Xbox Live, would there still be advertisements regardless of paying a monthly subscription?
Okay. Oh, no, I was just asking because I don't get any ads. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with my Skype. I don't know. I don't get any ads or anything. So that's why I left Yahoo, because they had too many ads. Way too many. So, but back to Kickstarter.
Yeah, so is there any you're looking to back, or any you're just looking to support in general?
At this moment, you know, I'm really pushing on the My Number 9. Actually, well, again, that's over in 50-something hours. The one that I was pushing for... Oh, I'm sorry. I actually think that I'm pushing right now. It's not even a game. It's an app. For designing apps called hold on for 1 second. They call it because the name is very similar to another app I already own. And I was like, oh, is it them? Those people? It's like, no, it's somebody else, totally different. I'm just trying to pull their information up right now. And let's see, AppSeed, and that's the one I'm supporting right now. Actually, I can send you a link to it. But basically what it is, you can take your iPhone, iPod Touch, whichever the app is on, or even on your iPad, and basically you draw out your, like, say you want to make an app for a TuneIn game podcast or the website, and you want to make a, you know, you want to design it, meaning you get a piece of paper, you draw out the square saying, okay, here we have a picture and this is a gallery, here we have our Twitter updates, here is a link to the YouTube, and basically you just take a picture of that picture that you just drew, and it makes everything live, and it's basically a beta. So now you can actually pass that on to someone, okay, like you'll say to me or someone else who programs, or if you want to just do it for Android, you know, or have it where, you know, convert it over to iOS, they can do it with, you know, have it done within few, you know, days, if not weeks, and you're done, you know, and it's really interesting, and that's what I'm trying to get. But right now they're trying to go for 30,000, and right now it's only 13,637. So, you know,
that sounds like a good idea, actually, being able to design your own apps.
Yeah, I mean, they have programs out there that allow you to do that right now, but this makes it live, meaning if you want to keep the graphics you have, the pencil drawn stuff, I mean, to me, it looks just fine. You know, you can get Google Maps working on it. Like, wow. You know, here, I'll just send you a, you know what? I think I just posted in the group. Yeah, I can just post it in the group.
Okay.
Yeah, that way, everybody, because I should have posted a long time ago, but I go through so many links that I forget to post stuff sometimes. And as you can see, my Twitter, I'm not really tweeting too much, you know, especially since iOS 7 came out. I don't like iOS 7 too much. But the program itself is really nice. When you see it, you're like, wow. They have like two or three other programs similar to it, but they make you like buy templates, meaning you buy this little ruler, like template thing and you draw it on paper, it's not the same thing. This one actually makes your image comes alive. So if you drew buttons of Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, it'll know, hey, those are these, I know these symbols, and it automatically links it to Twitter, you know, and then you put your account in and they work just like that. It's like, wow. It's kind of like building a website on your phone almost, or your device. So, but yeah. But that's the only thing I'm looking for outside of, you know, on Kickstarter. I don't really look at too many other projects because there's, you know, one too many I'm looking at, you know, with Mighty No. 9 coming to an end, a great end, you know, so.
Yes, it's still just over 2 days. If there's about 52 hours at the moment, then there's just over two days' time. So, or within the next few hours, there'll be 48 hours, so 2 more days to fund it and see how far I can push it. Whether we'll get to PS4, Xbox One versions, or even 3DS and PS Vita,
Yeah, I think they did that to mess with me. I really do. I really just want it on a 3DS. I really don't care for being on Xbox One or PS4. I want it where it's in my pocket and on my iPad or on my, well, yeah, on my iPad with Bluetooth controller support. No on-screen controls. But
that'd be good version to have it on a thing, iPad or tablets or even iPhones or.
Yeah, with it being on PS3 and Wii U, I'm happy, you know. But I would love to have it, you know, a portable version of it. Cause I mean, I shouldn't say this. I'm gonna say it anyway. I don't really think even on PS4 and Xbox One are really going to be worrying about this game too much, you know, because all, you know, people who are retro, we're the ones that are going to want to have it, and the Mega Man fans, they're going to buy it no matter what console it's on. So, you know, with it being on PS3 and Xbox 360 and Wii U, I already see where they're going to get it. They're not going to jump to a new system when they can get on this current system, unless there's something special about it, which I don't think it should be. But, well, we'll see about that, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think expected date for the game to come out is about April 2015.
15, yes.
So still a while away, but by then, who knows, maybe most gamers would have moved on to the newer consoles, but.
Well, that's true, but I will see this also. Actually, I would see this, if it was going to be on Xbox and PS4, as a DLC game only. No physical media. On PS3, 360, and Wii U versions, I would see that as both physical and digital. So, in a way, the PS4 and the Xbox versions don't really... I mean, they probably need, you know, they do need tweaking, you know, for the D-pad, or however they're going to be used. But, we'll see. I just want to see the opening intro right now. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, over the coming months and.
What I also like is the budget. You know, the budget is under $5 million. So.
Yeah, but then again, there's 2 days left. Anything can happen. That budget can go hot, sky high. I mean, granted, I don't think it's going to go beyond. Personally, I don't think it's going to be going to go beyond $5 million. But
right. Well,
but who knows if those other goals will be reached in time. My guess is the speed's going.
Yeah, well, that's
got a good chance of getting most of the remaining stretch goals.
Yeah, well, my thing was, I was leading into is that if you notice that, you know, this is going to be a 2D game that everybody wanted, and compare this to other companies spending $12 million on a game that doesn't even make $12 million back, this should be a big example of this is a realistic budget, you know, and given by the gamers without a product. Well, they gave us one soundtrack for free, so, you know. And that to me was my inspiration. Once I heard the music, I had to draw something. Granted, it wasn't my greatest work, but they posted it anyway. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just show. I was like saying, hey, you know, that's all I was saying. And I was like, So I might try to do a 3D version of it later on today, but I don't know. I'll see. I'm kind of crushed, you know. Now I'm doing this, so once this is out of the way, then if, you know, if I can lean back, I can probably pump it out in about 3.5 hours. But that means no texturing or anything like that. So all cell shaded.
But, yeah, I mean, I am tempted to back it myself, but I don't know if it should, if I will or not. I don't know if I will go for like just a digital copy, or whether I'll go for the soundtrack one, or go for the digital game and the soundtrack.
Yeah, just do $20. That's all you need to do. My friends, they did $40, because they're well, my friends that I know that I talked to, they did $40. You know, the other guy from oh my gosh, the Game Chasers, or
I'm sorry, ALJ.
No, not him. The blonde hair guy, the one who I should be getting along with just fine, and we hardly ever talk really. I mean, we pass each other in comments and stuff. Him. Yeah, whichever. They did $250 because, you know, they want the big package. You know, if I could afford that, then yeah, I would. You know, I would have did that. But $20, you know, that's support. You know, it's not about how much you put in. Is that you show it, no matter, even if you just make a shirt and walk around and get people to come to it. To me, that's, you know, showing that, hey, I don't have the money, but I have a shirt, and I'm getting people to go there, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're fond of a project and you're willing to back it in one way or another, whether it's with money or for advertisements or just word of mouth, then you should show your support to get something you believe in into production and getting people to places they need to get to in order to make the dreams come true, or make what they want to do come true.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah. So good luck to Mighty Number 9. See how far it gets, and hopefully next time we'll report how good it does. But then most people probably know how much it's made and that, but. Well, we can only just assume what will reach it in the next 2 days.
Yep, go Beck, go. You know, so.
Yep.
Trust me, he has a lot to live up to. So, and I believe he's gonna do more than that. I think this is gonna set the standard for 2D all over again. I really do. So.
Yeah, a lot of people are expecting a lot of things. So let's just hope when the game does come out, it pleases everyone.
Oh, I feel it. I really feel it.
Which I'm sure it will, but just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Once it comes out, I'm not crossing my fingers or nothing. I just know it. I just know it's going to be great, you know, because he's doing this out of passion, not out of, well, you got to make this like this. You got to make this like this. Like, no, this is how the fans would want it, and this is how I'm going to do it. So hopefully he'll be doing Twitter updates and stuff as they're doing level layouts and stuff, because I know a lot of people out there have, you know, ideas of what they would want to see in a game like this. And this is not Mega Man, so these levels are going to be a little bit different. They may look the same, but they're going to play a lot different. You know, like maybe you might be on a rail and you need to transform into a box and slide all the way across the level just to fall into a hole, transform back into your regular self, and then transform back into the box, and then turn into a ball to go through a loop and catch the momentum. We don't know that, but that's a new play mechanic that I know is not a Mega Man game at all, so. But we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we'll talk about it more next time.
Yep.
Okay, but on to some slightly sad news. Sorry to change subject, but just want to throw a quick mention to the president of Nintendo in Japan. That's I apologize if I get the name wrong. Hiroshi Yamaguchi, is that right?
I'm gonna say it's very close. I'm
not good at pronouncing certain Japanese names, so. But basically, he's like an important part of Nintendo, and for obvious reasons, because he got Nintendo through some difficult times up to recently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember back when Donkey Kong was first released, and Universal after certain companies for copyright infringement, and they happened to find Donkey Kong in a pizza bar, was it? And I believed it to be infringing upon King Kong, and so they were going to take Nintendo to court over it.
Right.
And obviously at the time Nintendo was a very small company compared with Universal, which was a massive company and still is a massive company.
Yes.
And obviously the president of Nintendo at the time was very nervous because he never had to deal with any cases like this before. So I mean to cut a long story short, basically they hired a great lawyer, Kirby. Who then got him through the case and then found that Nintendo wasn't infringing upon Universal's copyright laws because they didn't own the rights to King Kong originally, or anyway, and besides the game had nothing to do or nothing in common with King Kong other than similar sounding names.
Right.
And from there, he's just drove the business up and up. So from there, we've had the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Game Boy, the Virtual Boy, Nintendo 64, all the consoles up till recently, the Wii and the Wii U, and the 3DS, of course.
Okay, don't forget the GameCube, please.
GameCube. Yeah, and the GameCube, yeah, I'm just listing some of the random examples of where there's loads of great consoles and loads of consoles didn't do too well, but obviously he's been through the ups and downs of the company, so if it wasn't for him, maybe Nintendo wouldn't be where it is now.
That is correct. Yep.
I mean, possibly, but without Shigeru Miyamoto, who made Mario, of course, but then if there's no one to lead the company, then Mario might not have ever got past the Donkey Kong.
Right, exactly. Well, keep in mind, Nintendo was a toy company, and they actually was a card company first, and still are. You know, that's where Pokemon eventually emerged, because they used to make, like, greeting cards in the beginning, way back in the 1800s, actually. I know everybody, we always, you know, that's part of trivia, and you look it up, and we're like, what? Nintendo's, they're not a video game company, they're a toy company. And, but he did a great job bringing them through the beginning to the middle to letting them pass the torch on to come up to now, which is great. Without this guy, I'm not sure how far video games would have gotten and lasted as long as they have, you know. So, because remember, we had the arcade fallout, and now, you know, we have consoles, and now, you know, it's not a fallout coming, but something very similar to that is coming, because now we have so many options. Who do you support, you know? So, but he did a great job.
Yeah, running the company for 53 years and was the second largest shareholder of the business at the time of his death. So what's happened to his share, I'm not too sure, but...
Yeah, well,
It says here, ran the company from 1949 until 2002.
Yes. Yeah, he left in 2002.
So up to the GameCube era that he was in.
Yep.
And Game Boy Advance as well.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, because I know I didn't test the Game Boy Advance. I left the Game Boy at the Game Boy, because the Game Boy will always be my favorite Game Boy until the DS Lite comes out. Or came out. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but yeah, GameCube, one of the best Nintendo consoles ever. The reason why I love the GameCube, because of its design. It's the first system that I can actually, you know, just pull all my RCA cables out, leave them connected to the console, wrap them around it, grab the handle, grab my controllers, and walk out the door, just like that. Boop, done, in like 10 seconds or less. And not worry, oh, did I leave something behind? Like, no, everything's ready to go, let's go. You know, it's the only console. My Super Nintendo, not so much. You know what happens if you wrap that up. The cables get all tangled, and it's like, oh, we got to untangle the cable. So you learn, don't ever do that again. Take everything apart piece by piece. But the GameCube, And then the GameCube hardly ever got tangled up, even with the power cables, if you ever noticed it, you know. I mean, the only thing that, honestly, before the Wii I think, was it the Wii came out? Or the Wii? Yeah, before the Wii even came out, I really thought they should make a adapter for USB accessories and turn the GameCube, because, you know, I forget what happened, but the Wii started going down or something like that. I think that's when the Xbox 360 was coming out or something like that. And I always wanted to turn my GameCube into a word processor where I go buy a disc or whatever and I can pop it in and I can now type up letters and stuff. And I have these USB adapters hooked to it. And now I can hook up a USB printer. I can hook up a USB key. Everyone had a GameCube in their closet. But I don't know about now. But yeah. Yeah, he did a great job. He did a great job.
Yep, sure did. So, I mean, according to this, he died of a few pneumonia.
Well, he's up there, though. So, he was born in 1927, so...
Yep, so he's lived a good age at the age of 85.
Oh, yeah, he did it. Well, he lived, and he had a life, and he did made a change in the world, so...
Yep, so without him, who knows, maybe Nintendo would have lost to Sega, who knows, I mean, without doing research, we can't determine how much of an effect he had on Nintendo, but it could be assumed he had a big part to play being the president up till 2002.
I'll say this, the 80s, I can see how he ruled, you know, with an iron fist, you know, with his regulations, you know, that seal of approval. So, which was a good thing and a bad thing, but overall a good thing. So, but yeah.
So, yeah, so set a standard for the industry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And just set it back on track after the video game crash in 1983.
Yep.
Yep, so, well, what's left to say? If you'll be remembered and for many years to come and appreciated for... what he's done for the gaming community as a whole and for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And there's still no sign of Gaz. I'm going to see if we can call him again, but it doesn't show him to be online, so I don't know if he's going to be on, so... Because this is a sort of point. Was hoping to... do the next part of the podcast, which would have been a trivia quiz, but as it looks like, he's not available, so...
I was hoping he'd come on, because I want to talk to him about Eurogamer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be on or not, but by the looks of it, he's not going to be on tonight, so hopefully next time, or if he comes on a bit, we'll talk to him then, but... Oh, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, because I told him I speak, you know, I thought, you know, we'd be together today because, like I said, he tweeted me yesterday. He got to play the Oculus Rift, and I really wanted to hear, because since he's played, I mean, the reason why I want to hear, because he's played and he knows about all these other systems and accessories, and I don't like listening to other people who, oh, well, it looks nice, or I think it's going to be really cool. And when you use it, it's like, it's burning my eyes, you know. And so he's played everything, and he played my Dream virtuality system that I always want to play. Hopefully I'll be able to play at least one time before I die. I know it sounds crazy, but I've always wanted to play it. I mean, I want to play it. I don't care. Even if I can't really play, if I can just touch it and wear it, that's really enough for me. At least I can say I touched the future from back in the day. But he actually got to use it. Now he's used that one, and he also used the Virtual Boy, which he knows the Virtual Boy, that thing burns your eyes. You cannot play that thing for extended periods of time. 5 minutes is more than enough time. 10 minutes, you're pushing your luck. I did it for 30 minutes, and that thing hurt my eyes so bad, I'll never play it again. So, at least not that console. I'll play the games on 3DS. But yeah, I really wanted to hear what he had to say about the Oculus Rift. I've watched a lot of shows on that. I even watched, what is his name? I think his name is Jamie. From Mythbusters. He actually goes to this one podcast. It's a video podcast on YouTube. And he went, and you know how those guys are. They tell the truth. Well, facts. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say they say the facts. And he said some things that weren't too appealing. Not bad, per se, but he's not a gamer. But for what he said, anyone can relate, you know, until they can build it to be a little bit more better. is not something you want to run out and go get right at, you know, at this moment. Granted, you know, there are beta testers who have units in their hands. I would love to have one right now, but, you know, mess around with my 3D stuff. But the 3D, you know, Oculus Rift looks like something that's going to be great, but hopefully won't get bought out by some government contract. Cause I can see them taking that. Oh, this is for great for training. Like, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't probably will get used as virtual reality training methods, but hopefully for the most part it'll be used for gaming as well. That's what it's designed for, so you don't really need another tool for training for war, really, but...
Well, you know how they are. I mean, Kinect, they can take that from the gaming and give it to the hospitals and places that can actually use it, develop it a little bit more, then bring it back to gaming. So, you know... But hopefully next time he will be. Hopefully. If not, I don't know. Maybe I should try to call him during the middle of the week at random. So.
Yeah. So hopefully next week we'll get his opinions on your game and see. I mean, in his tweets he did say he had a good time. But hopefully we'll speak to him about him so we can ask him questions about what was his favorite part. So. Hopefully, Gaz, if you're listening for whatever reason, then please let us know what it was like, so.
Yep. Yes, please.
Okay, so, well, I think until next time, we'll save the trivia questions until later, and we'll just, for now, just go on to what we've been playing and watching.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. All right, so what have I been playing? Okay, are you doing playing or watching or both?
Go through watching first, because my list is pretty short, so...
Okay.
This week, first time I've watched The Little Mermaid.
First time?
First time I can remember anyway, so...
Wow, I
might have watched it as a kid, but I can't really remember it too much or too well, so chances are this is probably my first time watching it.
Wow, I've watched that movie at least 12 times. I have nieces and nephews, so Ursula.
Yeah, so overall, it's a good Disney movie. Wouldn't be on my top 10 list. Main reason being Ariel wasn't really not the best protagonist or the best princess, because basically she was just wanting stuff her own way and wasn't really much of a developed character really, but.
I only like that movie for one scene, and well, two scenes, and that's the sing area. And she snatches her voice. I love that scene, and the part where the ship wrecks in the Ursula. Those are about the only two scenes I like. So, but that's the reason why that movie is actually, out of all Disney movies, it's number 3, and Lion King is always going to be number 1. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll say there's a lot of dark imagery. So in Ursula's home, obviously you can see all those the mer people have been cursed by the deals they've had to make with her. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a bit of dark imagery and a bit violent sometimes, especially with the French chef.
His
enjoyment of chopping up all the fish and serving all the meals and.
Mm-hmm.
So there's bits about it I liked, some of them, but overall it's not too bad a movie, so it's definitely watchable and definitely worth watching a few times, so something I'll probably watch again in the future.
I'm surprised you're not happy.
No, I'm happy.
Out of
the Disney films that I've seen, they're more relatable and where... She's like a princess under the sea, yet she wants to be on land, and she instantly falls in love with this guy.
Yeah, you know the story, but every person that watches that movie, when you say, under the sea, everyone starts singing. I remember I did it at work once. I didn't know people were listening. Like, yeah, we watched that movie too. Like, okay. But yeah, but no, I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, people do like, when you can tell someone's watched that movie because they hum the song all day long. Under the sea. It'll surprise y'all. Just don't let them start talking like that crab or what his name is. I forget his name.
I'll try to think of something. Sebastian.
Sebastian. Oh, I can't. Ugh. People try to mimic him all the time. It's like, okay, I wish I'd never sung the song, but oh well. Keep going. But go ahead. What else are you watching?
I've been watching the new series, still watching the X Factor, same stuff really, nothing really new or interesting. It's just currently at the boot camp stage where they decide who's going to go through to the next round and that. So, I mean, a bit of a rubbish formula, because apparently they have this formula where there's six chairs or for six of the acts, and then they choose the six acts, and if there's any acts remaining that they want on, they have to replace one of the acts that they've currently chosen with an act they want more.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. So if the act's good enough, they'll be sat down if there's available seats. If not, they'll go home. And if there's a seat taken up, then they just have to choose who to swap with if they want that person to stay instead.
Right.
Which I'm not a big fan of that formula, because that's just got putting the impression you're good, you could come on board, and then if someone else better comes along, then you're better, you take that person's seat. So I don't really like that sort of formula, really. And I understand it's a competition, and the idea is to choose the best singers, or supposed to choose the best singers, but that formula I don't think really works, because I don't... Because it just makes it look, oh no, like you just do you know what I'm trying to say, or
right? No, I understand that. You know, because I used to watch the beginning of American Idol for the same reason, because that's usually the most interesting section. You know, don't get me wrong, we have some good people. Like we just had a little, I don't know what you call it, but we had this new this lady who was like 50 years old. She looked like she was about 24. She sung like heaven on earth, literally. Well, everyone gave her a standing ovation, and she was awesome. A few days later on the internet, we found out that she was already a hit star back in the, I think, 80s. She already was a star already. She was just, you know, overshadowed by other people. And I don't know. I didn't get caught up in the controversy and stuff like that. Should she even be in the show and stuff like that? I'm like, well, she was a has-been, you know, so really I think they should make another show for people who, like, say if you try to do a rock band and for some reason you got pushed off the map by someone else, make a new show for has-beens, you know, the one-hit wonders and stuff, and see if they, you know, still have what it takes, and then they compete, because they already kind of know what it takes to be a star, yeah. But do they have what it takes to be a star? Because you're a one-hit wonder, you've been there, now how do you come back, you know, because me, I still listen to that Skritti Politti. I don't even know where they're from. I just love their music. I found a tape in a parking lot, and it worked. And I had a tape player, and I played it. I haven't bought their CDs or anything because I couldn't find it at the time. But actually, you know, more people I know Skritti Politti. I'm like, oh, okay. But I think they should make a show for something like that. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted your thing.
Yeah, I think there might be some shows that do that sort of thing, but not too many, or none that popular.
All right.
Yeah, so the formula's not that good. And then I think next week's supposed to be the judges' houses, so they go the six acts chosen for each category, boys, the girls, the overs, and the groups, go to the judges' houses, and then that's from there they choose the final three to go to the finals the following week.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the problem with that form is that you send six over to just somewhere really not nice, or for the most part anyway, you go to a really nice location, usually the other side of the world, like places like Dubai, places like Miami and Australia, places in Australia, or various places across the world where judges live. So,
right.
So basically it's to give a taste of what life's would be like for them, but then out of the six, only three of them will get through, and then the other three will be left on the way home. So on the journey home, they're just going to feel sad and depressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So going all the way back home, and then just like feeling they're not good enough for the competition, and then just like feeling sad throughout the trip back home. So not really the best way of choosing the final three, but it's something that's stuck with for ages, so they're probably going to change it now anyway.
Alright. Mm-hmm.
But again, that's next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, and there's a return of the sob story as well, but I won't go back into that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I listen to the first two or three, but it's like, same time, like, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but I really don't need to hear. I'm sorry. It's just, I have sob stories too, but I don't want to tell you my sob story, make you feel bad. You know, I'm already feeling bad. I want to share. Now, if I'm doing share time, yeah. Not, I'm singing this song because my mother, blah, 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 yeah, and my dog ran away with the spoon, you know, and, you know.
Yeah, it's just like when I hear it so many times, it just gets, it can start, gets more annoying than anything else. I do sympathize with the person, but. Then again, it's a singing competition. It'd be the same as if you're going for a job interview. You shouldn't be expected to get the job because you came with a sympathy vote. So my dad ran away with the dog or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it like this with some of that stuff. It's like, I don't really believe in those shows anymore too much because of, it's not, I don't want to say it like in a negative way of saying it. What I'm trying to say is basically, if you could sing or do something good, get a camera, put it on YouTube, and if you get views, guess what? You are news. But then I've seen some great people who don't get no attention at all. So, you know, and I'll share them with everyone saying, hey, this person is really great, you know. So, but really, I think if you think you can sing, when I see some of the people on the, you know, at the beginning, you know, and they're, my friends, I can sing real good, and I sound great. And then they sing, I don't know. Pick what's that song? Sexy? Oh, sexy, you know it. That song will none like that.
Yeah.
Sexy and you know it? No, I know you need to get off the floor because you're finna blow it. Bye-bye. You know? But that's what I'm saying. I'm serious. And this one girl, it was on X Factor. I think it was actually in your country, in the UK. And this girl, she came in, she was all modeled up and everything. I can't remember her name. She actually has, like two or three hits on the video that was recorded. And she basically told off, what's her name's wife with the red hair? She's not on there anymore. But she told her off.
Sharon Osbourne?
Yeah, she told her off. Said, you know, you can't sing either. And I'm like, you're talking to the judges like this? And they're not just judges. There are people in your field that you'll be going into. They could make or break you right there, dearie. And she was actually really nice to the girl. I would have broke her right there. I was like, yeah, I can sing. I look good. And I'm like, you're talking to judges like they're your friends. They're not your friends. And she just went off. And she, when she sung her song, she was awful. And then she blamed it on them. Y'all got me frustrated. You got me upset. And they just asked you a few questions, dear. They didn't say anything to you. You're the one that went off on them. You know, so, but they were nice to her and very respectful, because normally Simon, I guess he was in one of his good moods. Normally he would just say, get out. That's what he normally would say. He didn't even say that. He didn't even roll his eyes. He just looked sideways like, there's nothing I really can do for her. She's just too full of herself. And he was right. Very full of herself. Now, she had some talent to go with the attitude. Remember that. She was very beautiful, but that attitude made her so ugly. You know, so, whatever, you know, but yeah, I think they really should, a YouTube show should sprout up where people send in their clips on how they sing, and you can put the thumbs up, thumbs down. Don't get mad if someone says you can't sing, because, you know, hey, each his own. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, been watching more of that, and also watched the new first episode of the new series of Downton Abbey. They're on the fourth season now.
What is that?
Downton Abbey.
Okay, no, I thought it was one you mentioned before. What is that?
Yes, one I mentioned before on the podcast.
Yeah, well, so I think that's what you mentioned.
Yeah, it takes place in the early 1900s. So first series takes place in after the Titanic and just before the First World War, and then the second one takes place during the First World War and just after the end. And the first series focuses more on the 1920s, and the series takes place at the beginning of 1922.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So like you said, something dancing, and I was like, okay, it sounds like something you talked about before, but I don't remember about dancing. So okay, that was just me. I misheard.
Yeah, so it's still a great series. Maggie Smith's great in it as the old lady Grantham. So with some great quotes. I mean, there's a trailer released recently of the new series, and in what one of the clips is talking about jazz. It says, "Do you think they know which what the other person's playing?" Because being a reference to that's new music at the time, and she doesn't really get the new music. Just thinks it's a random noise. So she's just as funny as ever, in my opinion, and looking forward to watching the second episode after the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that at all yet, Warren, or looked into it?
No, I have to get up on it.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's available on Netflix. It might be. I don't know if it's on the US Netflix, though, because I haven't been able to log on to US Netflix for a while, but...
Yeah, because sometimes, like me, I'm still waiting up for the UK version of Being Human. They haven't updated ours on that either. I mean, we have quite a few other UK shows, but the ones that I want to watch, they're not putting them on. Because we don't even think we even have Misfits yet on Netflix. So I hope we don't get an American version of that, because when they make it into an American version, they just mess it up. I watched the American version of Being Human. It's nothing like the UK version. I can't relate to any of it.
Yeah, I think there's a version of Life on Mars, which is the American series was made, but apparently got poor reviews, the American version, compared to the British version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that, but I haven't watched that at all.
Yeah, but if you get a chance to watch the UK version of Life on Mars, 2004 onwards, then I'd definitely recommend that.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that out.
And as far as I can think, that's pretty much it, apart from the odd thing here and there. So what about you, Ron?
Okay, on Netflix, what I've been watching, of course, I've been watching, again, on and off, Supernatural, watching that. And I also started watching a show called Continuum. Actually, I kind of yelled at a friend when he recommended it to me. You need to be watching this. And he said, like, two or three other shows that I have no interest in watching. But Continuum, I kind of caught that in the middle, because they said, I love werewolves. So, he mentioned something. It's like, well, there are no werewolves in there. It's kind of like in the future. And basically what that show, the Continuum, is about is in the future, these people are stopping the government from basically ruining the people, which is us, or which are us. And they make a time machine that sends them back, I think like 400 years, or not 400 years, quite about 60 or 70 years before the government takes over. And just when the technology of being able, like what we're doing right now, but we can do it wirelessly anywhere on the planet. And the kid that developed it, who actually runs the company, of the security company that is now the government uses to moderate people, she actually meets up with this kid. And I'll just stop at that. It's very interesting. I like it. You know, it's not super great or anything, but it starts off pretty decent. And I think that's really it. When it comes to stuff I'm watching, besides Breaking Bad on TV, I'm rewatching that because tonight is the final. Yay! Even though I'm saying yay, I'm scared and happy all at the same time. I hope the ending makes sense, because I feel there's a lot of loose ends that were left open. I mean, I can say them, but I don't want to say them in case someone's watching. Watching and listening. I think they have quite a few loose ends to tie up. Walter's in a crazy place, and so is Jesse. Scott, everybody's in a crazy place. I shouldn't even say that. Everybody's in a crazy place right now, so anything could happen tonight. Anything can happen. And that really is my highlight of what I'm watching. I'm not really... I mean, this is not a movie, but I should have mentioned this earlier, but Beyond Two Souls, the demo came out a few days ago. Well, if you got the pre-release beta code, you can actually be playing it. I didn't get a code, but a friend, you know, sent me some links, but they all were expired. But somebody already had uploaded it to the internet, and I was going to post it in the group, but I didn't know how some people would feel about me posting the complete demo in the group. You know, some people are.
Yeah.
But it's like Heavy Rain. People are raving about it. In my opinion, I'm not too impressed. But it still looks neat. And my friend says, well, once you play it, you'll have a different, you know, because I love Heavy Rain. But this Beyond Two Souls is basically where you're playing, well, you know the story. You're this girl who has psychic, well, quote-unquote, psychic powers. And her friend Aiden is a spirit, like, being. And you take control of the spirit. Think of it as like being, like, Abe's Odyssey or, I'm trying to think of another game that was very similar. Well, you control the one main character, but you can control another, like, ghostly-like character. To help you get through the levels and stuff. It's like when she's being attacked by certain people, you can make Aiden will come out and you can make him go open up doors and latches and stuff she can't open, or go command somebody like a T-1000 inside a car and they're driving at you and make them turn off to the side of the road where you and she comes to your view, and you make them direct to the left or to the right, and it actually opens up with you as a little girl going to the hospital. Where they do a research center, and they put you in one room, and they put this woman in another room, and they put you sit you and her down. You're both sitting in two different rooms, and you're sitting at a table with cards on it. Your cards are set up one way with symbols on it, and the lady, she's sitting at a table two with cards on it, same symbols but in a different order. And so what you do, they'll say, what I want you to do is to detect what card the other person in the next room is picking, you know, has chosen. They'll pick it up. What you do as Aiden, you will turn to like a spirit, go through the walls and look and see what she's holding up. And then you push the control, you know, each card on your table will have a circle over it. And you just push left, right to pick, put an X in it. And then you press the button and say, hey, this card. And you go from there and stuff like that. You do other things, like they'll ask you, can you do anything else besides that? And then you say yes. And you'll send the ghost back through the wall to push the lady's chair around, to knock over papers. And basically scared the crap out of the poor little lady. And but I have to give you a link to it. It's really interesting. The actual beta, I mean, the actual demo comes out on October 1st. So I'll be downloading it then. You know, I'm not in a rush. It was a game I was looking at. But like I said, I really want to finish Mass Effect before I buy any game. And I want to rave over a game and then get all excited like I did. You know, granted, Walking Dead was excellent. And it was DLC. So that game was a no-brainer, but I really don't want to grab another game until I finish Mass Effect 3, and as you can see, I'm not even playing it, and I need to play it. So, and that's it for what I'm watching.
That's a good selection there.
Yep.
Yeah, so what I've been playing, I played a bit of Aliens Colonial Marines, because... I was playing it last week, and just got the urge to play a shooter, so I decided to pop in the game because it bought it a while ago, but I haven't played it up till recently. And yeah, it's a fun little game. Granted, isn't look the best game on there. I don't think it was meant to be the best looking game, but
Where are you playing it? Where are you playing it? Console, PC?
Console.
Xbox?
Yeah, Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I got the collector's edition with the Marine in the forklift fighting the alien.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with all statues, so that was pretty cool. We got that quite cheap, so... I mainly got it for the statue, but the game itself's pretty fun. So if you put it into the back of your mind, it's not a fantastic game by any means, but it's fairly faithful to the Alien series, so...
Right.
And that takes place after Aliens and Alien 3, but it's a sequel that makes sense, sort of. But I haven't got far enough into the game to work out what's really happening.
Uh-huh.
So, but for most part, yeah, it's a fun game. So if it's not worth full price, I wouldn't say, but what you get with it, it's a pretty fun game, so you get to find little references to aliens, such as the hanger with Bishop's legs.
Okay.
If you know what I mean, during the last scene.
Yeah.
In Aliens.
Oh yeah, I remember when we found out what he was. It was like, how can he still be alive? That was a big shocker for us.
Yeah, so the reference to that, and then when you go back on, land back on, or crash land on some planet, which is to say, then you come across some audio tapes, so some references to some of the characters, such as Newt, there's a reference to Newt from a mother who's talking about wanting to leave the planet, but the company won't spend the money on a ship to get him out off the planet.
Right, evacuation.
Yeah, so... Overall, yeah, it's a fun game, so hopefully we'll get back to it at some point, but at the moment I don't know when, because the other game that's been taking quite a bit of my time up recently is the new Grand Theft Auto game, GTA 5.
Right, and how are you liking that so far?
Really good, I'm really impressed, so I can definitely see why it's done so well in such a short amount of time, so... It looks great on the 360. Granted, I don't have the PS3 version, so I don't know if there's any difference. And as far as I know, there's no PC version of the game out, so if anyone is looking to mod the game, there's not really looking much chance of a mod, but it's well-developed because you can do all these cool things. So you can do like little things like you can practice yoga, you can go and play tennis with a friend, or you can go play golf and scuba diving, riding bikes. So it's really a massive game, really open world. I mean, for most part, you'll be spending most of your time in the city area, but the countryside section of the map is massive as well. So I'm sure in future missions you'll be spending some time there, so I'm having fun doing all the activities and doing the missions and just like experimenting, like just going around seeing what I can do if I can start shooting people and how quickly I can get away from the cops.
Yeah, my problem was when I played Grand Theft Auto 4, I ran into somebody and the police came and got me. I couldn't hide.
Yeah, I mean, they changed the mechanics in in GTA 5, because in GTA 4, if you there was a circle area which you had to get out of, you want to get out of the wanted, if you want to get away from the police or the cops. But if they find you, then the circle resets. But with this one, if you can find a place to hide or avoid contact with the police or the cops, then the wanted level will go.
Right.
So it's a good system actually. So you can, if you can find somewhere to hide and stay low for a little bit, or just get as far away from the cops as you can, and then try and find somewhere to hide, then your wanted level will go. So it's a good little system, and it makes sense. You know, like go and collect wanted badges, so you don't like reduce it from a 2-level wanted badge to a 1-level, if that makes right. sense. So you don't do that. It's basically, whatever level you are, as long as you can find a place to hide and avoid enemy contact, then you should be safe.
Right.
But then if you're discovered, obviously, then you have to run off and then try and find somewhere else to hide.
Yeah.
So that's fun, and also the character switching, that's a great mechanic. I really do like that, because you can be playing with one character and then decide to switch to another character random.
I mean, so it's on the fly?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, for certain missions, you can only switch between certain characters, and certain missions, you can't switch at all. Especially near the beginning. I mean, the beginning, it gives you like a quick tutorial of how the switching mechanic works, and it works really well, because one mission you can be sneaking around on a ship, and then you can be using one of the other characters as a sniper to take out the enemies. But so the person on the ship can sneak by and plant the bombs, and then the third character will play his part and come along in a different vehicle or do a different activity to complete the mission.
Right.
So, and the characters are fun. There's Michael, who's the ex-bank robber, who faked his own death and now's slowly edging out of retirement and back into his crime days. And there's Franklin, who's an urban gangster who wants to make it to the top.
Uh huh.
And there's also this hillbilly character, Trevor, who's quite most deranged, I should say. He'll kill someone just because they look at him funny, if he's in the mood to.
Right.
But if you can get past that, it's a fun character to have.
Right.
So because there's one scene when it switched between one character to another, when it switched to Trevor, and then there's one scene where he's throwing someone off a bridge, and then talking about making them learn how to fly, and just throws them off the bridge. Yeah, so that's what happens, because you can do one thing in one area, and then something happens, and then when you switch to another character, they're a completely different event. So they could be at a club, they can be in bed, or they can be doing other things, like just having a drink somewhere, or a strip club, or spying on women. So really can vary where it ends up, because the characters can do their own things while you're doing the mission with the character, or if you're doing certain things with that one character.
Oh, okay. My thing is, do you have access to a shovel? And can you kill someone and then go bury their body?
I'm not sure if there's any missions to do that. As far as I know...
No, I didn't say mission. I mean at random.
No, not as far as I know. But there's a lot you can do, so you can customize your weapons and... you can buy properties and do select missions or additional side missions, and you can also use a dog in this game for the first time. So there's a character, Chop the Rottweiler, which is used by name Franklin. Uh-huh. So you can use him in certain missions or as well as certain activities. So if you're after a certain character, then you can use Chop to chase after him to catch him. Or if you're in a mission where you're being attacked, then Chop will defend you.
Uh-huh.
So so far, I'm really enjoying the game, and I'm sure I'll be playing a lot more of it this week, because I can't wait to find out what happens next, because there's so much happening and there's quite a few funny characters here, there and everywhere, so... quite a few funny scenes. So when you get a chance to play it one, you should hopefully enjoy it.
Oh yeah, no, I think I will. I mean, I played part 4 blindly, and I'm not really too big on when the character like was talking to me and cussed at me. I'm not, even though it's a game. It, you know, that made me feel very uncomfortable, and you know, it's like I said, it's like eating your food and you're enjoying it, and all of a sudden, say you're eating, I don't know, meatloaf. And you're chewing it, and it's going great. And then, just when it starts getting really good, you bite down, and there's a bone, and it hits you, and your top and your bottom of your mouth. And that's the only way I can explain it. If I can turn our cussing off, I'd enjoy that game a lot more. But, you know, that's part of the game. I mean, but, hey, it doesn't matter. They made $1 billion, so my one little gripe shouldn't even faze them. But I'm one of the few people that, you know...
Well, there's quite a bit of swearing in this game, so be prepared for that.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I said I'll never play the game itself. I'll just be doing all my side missions and just walking around and causing havoc. That's what I would be doing, just walking around and causing havoc. You know, swimming and stuff.
That's a fun part. You can just do things at random. So you can do missions, or you can just do your own thing. That's what's quite fun to do, actually, so you can break into the airport, take a plane, and just fly around San Andreas.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would end up doing. You know, I'm just doing it because I can. That's why I love Crackdown, because in Crackdown, I can do whatever I want to when I want to. If I want to take a car from anybody, I can take it. I can race around the cities. If I got somebody online with me who just wants to waste time, I'll get them trained in the cars, and we'll just race around 3 cities, 2 laps, we're done. You know, that's like, what, 20 minutes of racing right there. You know, and then if I want to body surf, like say, hey, let's do some car surfing. Like, okay, you drive? Like, yeah, you drive. I get on top with my rocket launcher, and we just ride around the city blowing up stuff at random. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, it's fun. I enjoy it. I didn't play Saints Row 5. Was it Saints Row 4, I think? I haven't played that yet. you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy series of parodies, games like GTA, but I think for the most part, there's some good reviews for that game, but a bit mixed about you being able to use superhero powers and at near the beginning of the game, so so it's like a pointless doing certain things like driving if you've got superpowers. So that seems to be complaints with Saints Row 4, but again, I've yet to play that because I've only played for the second and I've only played a bit of the third one.
Yeah, I only played part one. I didn't really care for it. It wasn't for me. Not saying it's a bad game. It's just a two. It also cussed, but also had so many bugs in it. And I'll find the bugs. I parked a car near a tree, and the car jumped up the tree. I mean, it was the most weirdest thing I ever saw in my life. And I know I shouldn't judge the game on that, but you know what? I'll stick with Crackdown. I seen some weird stuff in Crackdown, but that took the cake when that car climbed that tree. I was like, no way. You know, it was like crazy. It was like a car went to the top of the tree. I didn't even know it was a bug. You know, so I had to walk on the bridge and I had got lost. But I think the only thing I got a chance to do was drop my friend off at his job at the burger joint, and that was it. I stopped after that. And some girl cussed me out when she saw me driving by or something like that. Like, who is that? Like, oh, that's someone, so you need to go get her. Like, that's okay. But yeah. But I'm glad you're enjoying Grand Theft Five. That's great.
Yeah, so the online service should be available soon. So I think that's a good idea, actually. They give you the full single-player campaign, and then again, in a couple of weeks later, after you got used to it, they're going to release the GTA Online. So I think that's generally a good idea from how I can see it. So you're not overloaded with content, so you get the most out of the content you have, and then once it's digested, then you're ready for the next course, which is GTA Online. So
yeah,
so I look forward to when I get to update to play online, because from the trailers they show, it looks really good, so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the only other game we've been playing is Animal Crossing, but again, I think I'm slowing down on that a little bit, so.
Right.
Not because it's bad, but it just doesn't seem to be doing much else new, really, because I've done quite a bit with the town already, and it's extending my house a bit, so.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll still keep playing it for a while, but I think eventually I will go on to something different, or just leave for a bit and then come back to it at a later date.
Right. No, I understand that.
Yeah. But that's Angry Birds Star Wars 2. I downloaded the app for that, so that's a lot of fun. So in the first time, you can actually play as the pigs.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, with the catapult feature, so you can play as the dark side or the pork side, as it's stated in this game. So basically it takes place in the prequel saga.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a load of fun, so the characters and the abilities to have are quite fun to use, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it and I'm like, part two? I'm like, oh wow, I haven't finished part one yet.
Huh. Yeah, they've still got some content to come out for the first part, I think, so there's still like the second Death Star stage that's the bit they're working on, so I think that's the last one that will come out for that one, unless they come out with some expansions. But yeah, so far enjoy playing that every now and then. So, and that's pretty much it for me, I think.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm not really playing much of anything. Of course, when I had a little time, I played a little bit of Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. On PS3, even though I was supposed to be playing on Xbox. I just played a little bit of Kingdom Rush on iPad, iOS, and I think that's really it for me playing games. Like I said, I don't really have much time to play many games at all. I want to play Peggle, but I already beat the game on Xbox and PS3. Only on PS3 and on DS. Yeah, on DS and on, I think I beat it on iPod Touch, I'm not sure. But I had all those versions. And I think that's really, I'm just thinking. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play Pushmo. Of course, I played Animal Crossing. I missed the bug contest a few days ago, well, last week, actually. The bug hunting contest. I mean, you don't get nothing too much special, but hey, I want to get something, you know.
Yes, a trophy. And the only one I got from that was the silver trophy because someone else beat me at the last minute.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd had where it was online where we compete against each other, not the bots in the game itself. But I understand why they did that, being lazy.
Yeah.
You know, because you think they'd have an online version of it where it takes your score. Once he's done, then he goes and compares it to everyone else, and then you have an online scoreboard on your game, like on the bulletin board. Yeah, that's all the games that I played, and that's it, really.
Yeah, it'd be good if the Wii U they had Animal Crossing and some sort of cross-platform compatibility, so maybe a town on your 3DS game you can actually visit on the Wii U or vice versa.
That'd be great.
But whether they are going to announce one yet, who knows? But again, we'll just have to wait and see what Nintendo decide to do.
Right.
To increase the desperately needed Wii U library.
Right. We'll see.
Yep, so.
I mean, that'd be a nice thing if they did it.
Would be. I mean, teasing us with Animal Crossing Plaza. Teasing us with that because that looks great on the Wii U. So I think it's only a matter of time just before they release a Wii U version of the game. Hopefully, but we'll see.
Mhm.
But to wrap things up, is there any highlights you want to discuss or mention?
Oh, let me see. I'm trying to think. Okay, I forgot we got the highlights coming up in the. I really can't think of any highlights, and I think there was one. Well, my number 9 was one of my highlights, but we already talked about that. You know, finally a 2D game, because now I know 2D isn't gonna die. I'm gonna say I don't have it. I'm sorry. Breaking Bad was my highlight too. Tonight's the final night, so you know. So to me, that's more of a highlight. Personal. Nothing new on my scene personally, you know. So.
Yeah, well, I think there's one pretty good highlight for me purchase made from Retro Station, and that's a promo item actually from a shop.
Oh, and what was that?
It's The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D store poster display.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I have to take a picture of it and show you.
Yeah, I was going to say, take a picture of that. I want to see.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, which I've included in my monthly pickups video, which I'll be uploading roughly the same time as I'll be uploading the podcast, so shouldn't be spoiling anything for anyone who's looking forward to that, so...
Right,
exactly. And basically, it's double-sided, so it's basically the same picture, but reversed.
Right. I was going to say, how much does it cost to send a poster like that to America? Do you know?
I wouldn't imagine too much, because it's made of cardboard, but you just have to use a bit of packaging, so... I'd guess it's something like $10, $20 packaging.
Okay. I'm gonna get you it's outside. We should probably talk this after we get finished recording. But no, my friend who works at EA, he collects a lot of stuff, and I think that might be something he might be interested in, if you're interested in trading. He's a collector also, so I know he has something you most likely would want. So, but you know, that'd be something for him and you and him to discuss. So, because I know he loves double-sided stuff that we hardly get here in America anymore. Most of our stuff now is single-sided and. I like single-sided stuff more than double-sided, unless it's for, you know, me personally. If it's just for me collecting, I'd rather it be single-sided, but if it's double-sided, it's for me personally, where I get to put it in my room and flip it whenever I feel like it, you know.
Yeah, it's a good thing about this, because if I want to see it in a different angle or a different way, then I can just flip it around, or...
Yeah.
So, I mean, the logo stays the same way, so it's you can still read it without having to look in the mirror, so Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, you can still read that on both sides.
Right. That's it.
So, I've yet to decide if I'm going to hang this from a ceiling, or if I'm going to just stick it on a wall, or just hold it next to something to display, but yeah, it's really colorful and me love the design of it.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my highlight of the week, picking up my first video game shop promo.
That's awesome. That's a good score.
The only other promo I have is Avatar poster for the cinema, but I haven't got hanging up at the minute, so.
Yeah, my friend used to be a manager at GameStop here. He used to give me some promos every now and then. You know, it's on my Facebook. I had the Juggernaut when the Ultimate Marvel Alliance when that came out, Part 2. I had the Juggernaut, but I ended up giving that. Anything I get that if it looks like a pinup or anything like that, I usually give it to him because he has the room for it. I think it's cool and all, but I end up just giving it. I say, here, you can have it because I know I'm going to throw it in the garbage anyway. You know, if I just want it because it was cool, take a picture with it, I'm done. But my friend makes me take it home and says, oh, if you guys take a picture with it, you're taking it home because I don't want to go to the garbage bin and throw it away. So he has my stand-up Juggernaut. I had a Green Lantern, the pin-up for that, but I ended up giving that to another friend with his own shop. And he actually, I think, ended up throwing that away when his shop closed down because it was like an internet cafe in the wrong place. And what else was there? There was like a few other posters and stuff that I had, but I gave those away too also. So I actually just gave him my copy of, what was it? Sega had their auction like sometime last year. I forget what it was for, but it was for like you're helping some cause. I think it was for cancer or something. And I bought a fan. I think it cost like $40. And I just donated that. And I got a fan from Shenmue. And I never got around to framing it. And I was cleaning up and I left it on my bed. And it fell off. And I was backing up in my chair. And my foot hit something. I turned around and looked. And sure enough, that was a fan. If I'd have kept backing up, I would have ran over and broke it. And I didn't want to give it away, but I know he respects it a lot more than I did. And I was saying, I really don't want to give it away, but if I don't give it to him, I guarantee you I'm going to end up breaking it. So I deep breathed and gave it to him. And I forgot it was from Shenmue when I went to go with my friend to pick up whatever latest football game it was, because he always wanted to ride with me. I said, go there and get yourself. Oh, don't go with me. Like, okay, whatever. And Sage says, oh, I know where that fan came from. I'm like, what, Shenmue? I'm like, oh, yeah, that is right. I forgot. So, you know, because you can, the logo on it is in Japanese, and I forgot it was actually from Shenmue. So I said, you can go ahead and have it because I'm going to end up breaking it. You know, I want to keep it, but as long as he's, you know, I know he's going to take good care of it, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's good to collect promos, but it can be difficult because a lot of shops do tend to have the weird policy of just destroying the promos afterwards, not doing anything with it afterwards. So it is difficult to get a hold of sometimes. Sometimes you can be lucky if you know people there, but often you ask and say, no, we have to destroy it. Your shop policies. And we have to take a picture or something to show it's been destroyed, which I can't really see why, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know, because when I used to work at Blockbuster, we used to have a field destroyed, but every now and then, you know, like, well, you can take those home, but make sure they don't pop up anywhere else. It's usually like copies of junk, you know, but I usually take the magazines, they have to rip the covers off to get credits back, and, you know, I'll flip through them real quick and just throw them in the garbage, you know. I wasn't going to buy it anyway, but if I can read it on my lunch break, I'll read it on my lunch break. But, you know, some posters I get, you know, I give them away, you know, I don't ask for them anymore, you know. I mean, if you're friends with somebody, of course, you might can get it, but keep in mind, if they have other friends, like, no, someone already have their name on it, you know. Like, right now, I still have a picture of, what is that? A Beautiful Mind, part of the Big Giant. There's like a Big Giant sign, you know, and I don't know if your Blockbuster ever had them, but when you used to walk in the old Blockbusters, in the back they'd have a Big Giant marquee that's made of like four or five different panels. Well, I have like panel number, I think it's panel number 2 from A Beautiful Mind on my wall. So yeah, I need to take it down actually. But that's when I was a big fan of Russell Crowe for that movie he did with not Robert De Niro, but the other guy, where he was lying to him about cigarettes and tobacco before he did Gladiator. But yeah. But alrighty. Anything else?
pretty much it, really. Just an average week, really. So nothing else special. Just the Zelda promo pickup.
Okay. Yeah, we need to try to get online. I saw you can get online to play Grand Theft, but we need to play some Minecraft sometime.
Yeah, sure do. Yeah, we'll have to look at doing it sometime soon.
Yeah, just lollygag. Nothing serious.
Alright, I think we should wrap it up one. So, good episode overall, I think.
Oh, yes. Yep. Hopefully someone learned some stuff, and, you know, Indiegogo and Kickstarter will be on everybody's visit list.
Yeah, hopefully, yep, and hopefully next time Gaz makes an appearance and gives a reason for his disappearance this week. I'm sure he has his reason for not being here, so obviously I'm not gonna make it look sound serious, but
technical difficulties again.
Technical difficulties. That's what we usually say on the show. So
we all have those technical difficulties, you know. So, but yeah.
Yep, so hopefully next week we'll do the trivia quiz. So we've got some questions set up, but that just gives me more time to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, there's currently got 22 questions down, so I'll get a few more, plus there's some bonus points in some of the questions, so.
Yes.
But, thanks for being on as always.
And thank you for inviting me. You know, you caught me by surprise when I turned on my Ouya. Seriously, you scared me.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. So, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And for everyone else, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, we will see you later. Take care.
And we'll catch you back here next week for Gaz to take on Warner and the questionnaire. Who will win? We don't know. So make sure you be here.
For the ultimate quiz.
Yes. Thank you. All right, have a good one.
Yep, gamer versus gamer. Oh, I'll see you guys then.
All right.